You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Have you ever noticed you can't jump in the Nexus?
And Daryl.
That's odd, right? Gravity must be very strong here.
Greetings and up. Welcome. We're not even going to start over. Welcome to episode 203 of The Training Dummies, recorded on April 19th. I'm Rob, and I have an aversion to podcasting, as if I've never done it before. Daryl, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing really good. I just got automatically signed out of the show notes, and I don't even know what happened. But I'm back in, so we're good to go.
I can
follow along now. That's weird. That's never happened before. It's like they're telling us not to podcast or something, and that's just wrong, right?
No. Right. Especially not tonight, because we have a super awesome guest. I think this is the only one of his kind that has not been on the show before. I guess
crazy,
we should just
right? Introduce
him, huh?
Yeah.
If you could believe it, because we've had Gizmo and we've had Multi on. Can we please have a warm Training Dummies welcome for TBK Zord, Ryan Reeder?
You know, guys, I'm really impressed with the show because I knew it'd be super fun to talk to both of you, but I didn't even know that there was going to be a studio audience. And so that just really made my night.
Yeah, it is. In most cases, it's our wives and children. And we send them off to bed afterwards.
Yeah, they're all going to bed now. It's past their bedtime, but they're going now. Stay up just for that.
I'm glad they stayed up just for that.
Well, like I mentioned, we've had the other folk on from your camp, and we've talked at BlizzCon, and we've gone back and forth, and when are you going to be on the show? And just, I don't know, for some reason we've been bad people and never actually scheduled it. So we're done. We're doing it. We're doing it tonight. Ryan, how are you doing, buddy? Why don't you tell us a little bit about like what you're doing and your other show and your background with gaming?
Sure. I do Lords of the Storm, which is a Heroes of the Storm podcast. So every week I get to talk about hero stuff, and it makes me so happy because it's my favorite game, as you would never be able to tell from following my Twitter. I've been gaming for a long, long time now. I started off with, if we want to go back to console days, regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, but I really got into it a lot when I started PC gaming with Age of Empires, and that led me into the RTS genre, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, yes. Mm-hmm. Got me into that. That all got me into WoW. I played Diablo 2 as well. Pretty much, I've played almost every Blizzard game since Diablo 2, and I was a big fan of MOBAs. I played League of Legends for several years, and it just got to the point where it was more frustrating than fun. And whenever a game gets to that point, you know it's time to stop. Because I don't want games to be a chore. I don't want to be frustrated while I'm playing a game.
Yeah.
And so around that time, Heroes was in Tech Alpha. And so I signed up for the Tech Alpha through, you know, the BattleNet management, because I was like, oh, Blizzard's making a MOBA. That's pretty cool. And whether it be like, you know, the extreme luck twist of fate, or it was, you know, Destiny. I guess it's kind of weird of a game, but, you know, why not? We're on a podcast, right?
So, yeah, pretty much.
It was Destiny. I got an invite to the Tech Alpha shortly thereafter, and I've been playing Heroes for, 3-4 years now, ever since it's really been out and available.
Say I played a little bit in the Tech Alpha and I was like, yeah, I don't know about this. And then kind of kept poking back in. But yep, I think it was the gateway. It was the gateway for what turned out to be a beautiful thing.
And honestly, and Blizzard themselves have kind of shared this. It's kind of the gateway to all their games in a lot of ways.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I actually started playing a little bit of Overwatch because of Heroes. I actually played the Overwatch Heroes and Heroes before I played them in Overwatch, and they did such a good job translating a lot of those heroes over that it kind of felt natural almost switching into that. I don't enjoy Overwatch a ton just as a game unless I'm playing with five other friends. That's mm-hmm. just these days I've got I'm married, I have kids, and so any game time I have, I like to spend most of that playing with other people.
Yeah.
Because that's the social interaction, right? if you're a parent, you will understand that social interaction with your kids is a wonderful thing, but you need a break and adults to play games with.
Yep.
I know my son is 4 years old. He's going to be 5 in October, but he is absolutely 100% in love with both Heroes and Overwatch, and I'm trying to cultivate that and trying to figure out the best way to do that. And I've kind of finally figured out that he doesn't actually care about the game. He just likes going through the skins and the mounts, and that's like his favorite thing. That's awesome. So every single one of my characters now has a skin that I can't stand, and they're riding a plain brown horse because he loves horses so much.
Oh gosh.
So, yeah, I like every game I play, I look like that guy that noob that's never touched a game before. So
that's so awesome.
Nice. The poverty horse.
Exactly. I've got the generic one, but I don't know. It's worth it, man, because he's loving it. So it's a good time.
That you're winning dadding.
That's, oh man, he's good dadding. Like, yeah, I'm sitting there just trying to eat dinner, and he's like, "Dad, we're gonna play Heroes." I'm like, "Yeah, dude, hang on, man.
Just eat." That's awesome. Nice.
Well, right. Daryl, do you have any other?
No, I don't think so.
Before we get into it,
no, I think we can jump right into this.
Awesome.
Hi, this is James Ridges, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl. Smoke me a kippa. I'll be back for breakfast!
All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we are doing, we are active on Twitter. That is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD.
Well, tonight is all about Heroes of the Storm. We're going to talk with Ryan all about kind of the game that, I don't know. Here, let's start off with this. Did Heroes take a back seat now because Overwatch is doing so well? What's your take on that?
You mean from Blizzard's perspective?
Well, I mean from our perspective too, right?
Well, for me, Heroes never takes a back seat for anything, but just from I think Blizzard as a whole, they've really gone all in on Overwatch League. I mean, that's where the promotion is. That's where the merchandise is. I saw you can do like custom jerseys.
Yeah.
Now or something like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, wow, dang. I'm slightly jealous of the sweet custom jerseys. In fact, I saw an article just before the show started. It was like Kotaku or something of the funniest or like most ridiculous names we got past the text filter. Or the sensor. Yeah, yeah. Wow,
that's awesome.
So that was a pretty funny read, and I really hope when BlizzCon rolls around, I see some people in like official Overwatch jerseys with absolutely ridiculous names on the back.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
But yeah, Overwatch League right now is kind of Blizzard's baby. I mean, they have sunk millions and millions of dollars into this thing. And so it's not surprising that's where a lot of their main focus and their main advertisement is. HGC is, I think Heroes in general is a really different game from Blizzard's perspective, because a lot of times they come in with a game and they dominate the genre, right? Mm-hmm. Diablo, StarCraft from an RTS perspective, World of Warcraft from an MMO perspective, Overwatch from a shooter perspective. And Heroes came in to the market, a market that was extremely dominated by two other large games, both League of Legends and Dota 2. And so it was a very un-Blizzard-like marketplace and entrance, I guess, because Heroes itself is a really good game. It's extremely accessible, but they went into the market with a lot more competition, I think, than they normally do for some of their other genres. Mm-hmm. And so I think Heroes has been kind of a slow and steady growth strategy instead of just this, you know, arrives with just a huge bang, 30 million people, like for Hearthstone or whatever. And it's another game that they just like own the genre.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And so, yeah, Heroes is a little different in that fact, but we've seen, slow and steady growth of the game for quite a while now. If you look at some of the esports websites, the HGC actually has one of the largest cash prize pools of most any, like, I think it's top 10 for sure, potentially top five, of just the like, total prize pool, for esports in general. So Blizzard quite a bit of money into it. The production has ramped up quite a bit from the first year to the second year. They're actively working on getting sponsors. They're starting to pour a little more resources now. When HGC is live, it's live on the launcher, on the Heroes launcher now, which is really cool. Step in the right direction.
Finally.
I mean, a lot of people, and this is a big Reddit thing. Reddit likes to, you know, complain about things. I know, really, it's crazy. Some worthy causes and some not so much, but promotion of HGC is definitely a worthy cause, and it was awesome that Blizzard listened and finally got that kind of stuff on the launcher itself. And even in this last patch, it was rolled back and the one element was taken out, but patch notes came out of a new navigation bar in game that actually is going to have links to HGC stuff, potentially community stuff, articles, that sort of thing. That's just under the main navigation bar to get this like pro stuff and this HGC stuff in game and visible, which is something a lot of us have been asking for quite some time. And so hopefully that will make a reappearance soon. And once you get stuff in client, that really, I think, helps from a visibility perspective. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Overwatch has had the in-client stuff now for quite a while.
Well, they've added some of the features, like, you know, the little thing on the Battle.net launcher that looks like it's on fire when it's live, and you know, and
I'd love one of those, but I'm not holding my breath.
Every single thing that you see for Overwatch, though, is very much like I don't know, like almost like you're in Las Vegas, and it's like here, like cool stuff here. Check it out here. Come on in. Yeah. We got you. You want free stuff? You want cool stuff? It's right here. Click the thing. You don't even have to do anything. You don't have to do any work. Just like go here, right? And we've all kind of been saying, well, Heroes is like getting the redheaded stepchild treatment there, and I feel like, you know, they could step it up a little bit, right? Like, okay, maybe Heroes is not probably never going to have the numbers that Overwatch does. Man, we're starting at the bottom of our show notes.
Yeah,
but yeah, so like just a little while ago, I was looking and like Overwatch League had like 150,000, 120,000, whatever people, and then Disguised Toast had like 15,000, and then the Heroes channel that was playing Dorm had like 5,000, and I was just like, come on, like just because it's Dorm doesn't mean like Dorm is actually in some ways like just as fun to watch as
you see a lot more interesting compositions a lot of times in Dorm than you would in a normal like pro HGC game.
So what do you think? Like, do you see the future of Heroes? Like, I mean, you made some really good points, like saying that, you know, that the prize pools and some of the rewards and as a player, I think all the for HGC, the salaries and all that, that's on par, right? That's like on par with all the, you know, with what they're doing with esports to take care of the players and make sure they're getting, you know, insurance and, you know, proper benefits and all that. Do you see like maybe the promotion of it and the social media aspect of it kind of getting kicked up? Or
yeah, I think that's the big thing, right? Is awareness. I don't think the Heroes community as a whole is very aware of HGC in general or what it is or the pro scene. And so I think once they start kicking, and they, like I said, they have been working on it some on the launcher and stuff, but once they get some of that stuff in game and they start promoting these guides from pros with mm-hmm. links in game, they have maybe like a full on HGC tab in game where when you launch it, everybody sees it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we'll start seeing awareness jump up quite a bit. And I think that's one of the problems really right now, or Hero's biggest problem is just the awareness of its pro scene. Because it, in my personal opinion, and we know I'm super biased because I am, but I think Heroes is super, I think Heroes is super fun to watch. I think it's a really, really entertaining esport to watch. Even if you didn't necessarily play it, it's pretty easy to read for the most part. It's mm-hmm. got a nice view. Stuff is, it's not super, super effect heavy. Mm-hmm. And so it's fairly easy to follow the action. All the maps have very specific objectives
lanes
and stuff.
And they're yeah. straightforward. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward to watch for the most part. And some of the team fights can get pretty insane. And as the pros have showcased, the skill level of this game, or the potential skill level of this game, is quite a bit higher than many people originally thought it was going to be. And so I think all the ingredients are there. They just need the awareness from an audience perspective.
Well, Heroes was my gateway drug to esports. It really was. and like I'm talking, kids, so
now he's watching Hearthstone and Overwatch.
I'm not watching Hearthstone that much, but like Overwatch, like I was watching Overwatch on my big screen TV in the living room before I came up here to record the show. Right? Like, it's okay, Overwatch is on tonight. There's nothing else on TV. Let's just put this Overwatch on. And my wife
Overwatch
just shakes her head.
On.
But I know.
It's awesome.
I know. Like, but Heroes was my gateway drug. It really was. It was like BlizzCon. Was it 2 or 3 years ago when Cloud9 won it all? Right. And at that point, at that point, I wasn't playing Heroes. Like, I was in the Tech Alpha as well. I got in. I signed up for it, blah, 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 whatever. I hardly played. I played like 1 or 2 games. So when BlizzCon comes along and I'm there and I'm sitting in the audience watching these matches, I could follow it along. And I remember there was Murky got picked. Cloud9 picked Murky. And everyone was like, wow, this is amazing. And I could feel the energy in the crowd from this pick. But I didn't understand it because I didn't play the game at that point, right? It was still cool to watch.
Sure.
Even though I didn't play the game, it was cool to watch. I could feel the energy in the crowd into going, this is an off pick. I could tell this was an off pick just because of the crowd, but I was able to still enjoy the game and watch it, even though I didn't play the game myself. And totally, like, it's easy to follow. You can tell when someone's dying, or, you know, when someone's doing well and someone's not doing well. Whereas Overwatch, there's times where even now, like, they've improved the viewing experience tremendously from the first time I tried watching it. It was at 2 years ago. Rob and I watched watched it at BlizzCon, and it was hard to follow. But now, you know, it's way better. But there's still points where it's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, it's like,
sure,
you know, stuff's happening really fast in that game. But Heroes, I can always tell what's going on. You know, a quick glance at the mini map, they've got 2 keeps left, they've got 4 keeps left. You know, these guys are clearly winning and all that. So, you know, it is, you're right. It's very easy to watch. It's very easy to tell who's doing well. And there is a definite skill level there that people might not be aware of, but it's definitely there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And honestly, it's really cool. If you go to BlizzCon, I highly recommend watching.
Man, it was so amazing.
Live esports. It's so any good. Of the esports. Like, I even got into the WoW arenas last year at BlizzCon.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I, like, normally that... just like that doesn't interest me at all, but yeah. in in the moment, in the live crowd, while you're watching this on the big screen with thousands of other cheering fans, you just mm-hmm. get caught up in the energy.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And it's just insane. But you can always tell, especially for the Heroes final, when the crowd just pushes back and is completely fills the area and back even further. Like it's one of the most popular places to go to watch esports while you're at BlizzCon, because like you said, it is easy to follow. It's all these classic Blizzard characters. So it doesn't matter what game you're there for. Even if you're only there for one game, you can relate to it because you're seeing heroes from your game up there on display.
Like I was saying earlier, my son is like gotten way into it, and he's I think it started with me putting it on the TV one day and streaming it there, and we were able to watch it together. And next thing you know, he's going, "Who is that, Dad?" And I was like, "Well, that's Malfurion. I like Malfurion, Dad. He's on the blue team, and I like blue." You know, so it's like, you know, when you boil it down to like basic, oh, that dude's riding a horse. That's awesome. I'm all in. Where do I sign up? Right. So like, So he's, you know, when you boil it down to the fact that like even a little, you know, 4 or 5 year old kid can follow it. Like, that's awesome. That's great. Like, I think that's kind of the base appeal of it. I could sit down with my wife. I could sit down with her parents. We could sit down and be like, "Hey, check this out." And like, you know, within a couple of minutes, they know the gist of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And like Daryl was saying, with Overwatch, you're just like, I need to drink some water. Oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. Like, yeah, feel like there. Yeah, like you said, one of the key things is just the awareness of it. And I don't know what it takes to get it there, because I don't feel like maybe Heroes is probably never going to be what Overwatch League is. HGC is probably awesome, and I love it, but it's probably just not going to be that. Yeah. There's something about the first person shooter genre that is, you know, it's a hot thing right now. But I do know that you've got League of Legends and these other games that are stadium style games in other countries, you know, and I don't know if it's in Korea or Japan, where like some of these, you know, they're playing League of Legends and it's, you know, it's packed stadium to watch these people, and they're practically like, you know, rock stars when they come out. Like, this is, it's crazy. I don't know what it would take to get Heroes to that point, but I mean, it would be cool. I'd like it. I'd like to see it get more attention, because I think it deserves it.
Yeah, I think what Heroes strategy really needs to be is just keep the slow and steady growth. Like, Overwatch was something that had the fan base behind it, so Blizzard was able to take that and, I guess in some ways, push the esports scene, because mm-hmm. Overwatch is not a grassroots esports scene. It's a top-down esports scene, no question. Mm-hmm. Heroes is very much a grassroots esports scene that built from the ground up. And so they've got a really good foundation, and they are improving upon it so far every year. And if they just keep up with that, you add a little bit every year, you grow it a little bit every year, I think it'll be a profitable endeavor for Blizzard. Even if it never pulls Overwatch League numbers, they're not spending the kind of money on Heroes that they are on Overwatch either.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of keep in perspective, just from a business perspective, like the returns as well. So I don't expect it to ever be as big as Overwatch League. I don't even know if I expect it to ever be as big as League of Legends, but it definitely has the potential to be bigger than it is right now, and potentially even pass up Dota at some point.
Yeah,
the second biggest MOBA, because it's sitting pretty comfortably as number three right now for the most part. And so that would be the next step to kind of or if it passes Dota 2, that would be the next big deal for Heroes. And so I think what they really just need to work on, they're doing great with the game balance, they're doing great with the updates. They just need to work on awareness and then just slowly build it from there.
All right. Well, do we
feel
wanna...
like?
Go ahead. Sorry.
You kind of put a lot of these questions in here. I didn't want to just start blowing through them, but I guess in the interest of starting at the bottom and working our way up here, let's talk about HGC a little bit, and not necessarily in terms of comparing it to Overwatch or other esports. Then, what do you Do you feel like HGC is doing well? I know there's been some pro teams that are like, okay, we're done with Heroes, or, you know, what do you feel like the current state of just the actual league itself is?
I think we're in a decent state from a competitiveness standpoint. I don't think the regions have ever been more competitive than they are right now.
Good.
Which as a viewer is really nice to see. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Western Clash that just happened a month or two ago, and we had NA teams pushing EU teams for the first time in forever. And so it's really good to start seeing some of that skill gap close among these major regions, which that's kind of a big deal, right? You don't want to see specific regions just get crapped on all the time, or see one. It's not as fun to see just one dominant region just roll over absolutely everything. So
I
like where we're going this year as far as competitiveness. So that's one thing that's really stepped up. And I think HGC as a whole has helped with that. The whole transferring slots to sponsors instead of teams, with a few exceptions, I think will be really good going forward, because that definitely gives orgs more buy-in to be able to control those slots rather than just the team controlling the slot. And if the team goes away, then the org goes away type thing.
Yeah.
And whereas if a team gets relegated now, then that org can pick up another team rather than lose that spot entirely, which is a big deal for esports orgs to be able to retain that type of thing. And that's how Overwatch League is basically doing it, right? It's these organizations like the Outlaws or the Shanghai Dragons or whatever, they own these slots rather than the team itself owning them.
Yeah.
So that's a huge change, and it's not fully there, but it's a good step in the right direction. And so now they just need to work on filling out the rest of the slots and getting all of the 32 teams across the major regions with sponsors and then org controlled spots, because orgs help a lot as far as supplemental income, training, offering extra perks and stuff that teams themselves can't. So that's usually a really good thing. And then the other big thing we've seen this year is a lot more teams have gotten coaches, and that has made a massive difference, because coaches allow the team to mediate without the players having to mediate, which when you get like big personalities together, sometimes that can be an issue. We've seen it before in Heroes teams, especially where a team of all-star players is doing well, and then behind the scenes, it all falls apart. We saw that with Tempo Storm.
You get these guys, and it's like watching a MTV reality show where they just chat these five guys in a house together, and they're like, "All right, get good." And then next thing you know, they're fighting and throwing Twitter poop at each other, and it's just like a bunch of foolishness. And I think if you want to be taken seriously, then you need to act seriously. And getting a coach in there, getting somebody to not let the people steamroll each other. Like, I don't know. I don't really buy into the drama side of it. I know some people do. It's like I'll watch wrestling if I want to see that. For esports, I don't know. There isn't drama in esports. You can have rivalry, and you can have those guys suck. We're gonna take those guys down. But I don't really care if Johnny X wants to fight the other guy. It's not interesting. It's not fun.
Sure. And esports as a whole is still young compared to a lot of the things. And it just because of what it is and the reflexes and such required, it does tend to draw a much younger crowd of pro gamer or pro athlete than a lot of other sports do. And so that's one of the reasons esports has, for the longest time, even just since its inception, struggled with what I would probably call the maturity factor. And we've seen that play out already several times in the Overwatch League. We've seen that play out a few times in HGC before. And I think we're slowly starting to get to the point where these teenagers and these young adults are realizing that this is a real job that needs to be treated seriously, just like any other sport. If you're on a football team, if you're on a basketball team, how you act and how you represent your organization, especially if you're represented by an organ of some sort, is reflecting on them. And so you have to act in a professional manner with what you do. And you're in some ways a role model. And so how you act even when you're not playing a professional game or you're just streaming or something matters as well.
Yeah. Can you imagine if, like, I don't know about you specifically, but I know me, like at 16 years old, 17 years old, 18, having this kind of platform and this type of, you know, public attention and social media following and streaming
it's,
and all that.
It's crazy.
Like, I was an idiot at that age. I'm
crazy.
Totally. I'm way older now, much older, gone through a lot of things. I've married, I got kids. I've done a lot and I'm still an idiot. I can't imagine what 18-year-old Rob like probably would have. Yeah. Like it's not a surprise that some of these dudes get kicked off the team or they say these dumb things or, you know, so yeah, I think definitely bringing that leadership into it is key.
Yeah. It's partially on the orgs themselves. And in some respect, Blizzard too, because they need to, or they should know what they're getting themselves into. I mean, teenagers will be teenagers. Young adults will be young adults sometimes. Yeah. It just depends on the maturity level. And so it's partially on them to prep these guys in the fact that this is a legitimate job. This is something you're representing. And so beyond that, this is how you need to present yourself, or this is how you need to act when you're representing this org and this company.
Okay, well, let's jump into some of the stuff that Heroes is doing, like some of the changes they're making, and one specifically that I'm assuming is going to affect HGC, since we're talking about esports as well, is the third ban in the draft. Like, I know they announced it for some play mode that, honestly, I don't play, so I'm not even sure which play mode it is. But is it going to be put into HGC as well, the third ban?
Yes. I think the what they've been kind of representing is that it's going to go into place the next ranked season for the actual game, and most likely the second phase of HGC after the midseason brawl. That's the impression I've gotten.
Okay. So
do you feel like this kind of change is like would have a pretty big impact on the actual season, or?
Oh, it's going to be a huge game changer. Okay. Having extra bans, they're still trying to decide. And the big, I don't know if I'd say controversy, the big discussion right now is whether they add the extra ban to the very beginning of the draft phase or another ban to the middle of the draft phase. And there's pros and cons to either, but regardless of what they do, that's two more heroes you'll be able to take out of play. Mm-hmm. Potentially, if you throw it at the beginning, two more meta heroes that are ones you might see in almost every game, mm-hmm. two more of those could be gone. And so now you have to react. Now you're starting to use a few more of the heroes, or potentially in the middle where you have two more reactionary bans to what the enemy team is trying to create from a composition perspective. Man,
yeah, I could see an argument for both.
Yeah.
But wow. I don't know. I like, as a viewer, I say throw it at the front up top and force people to start thinking, you know, creating, looking at different metas or playing new heroes, but also it makes sense to put it in later to try and be strategic and find a counter or to try and shut down what you think they're trying to build, you know?
Yeah. I'm one of those people. I think I would rather see it at the top because I'm okay with seeing less of those, because from a pro perspective, if a hero is a little stronger or does something a little better than the other ones, you're gonna take it.
Yeah, right? Always.
Regardless.
Right? Why wouldn't you?
You're always looking for that little power advantage. And so I would love to see, I think, it at the front, because then you can take out more of those heroes that you see constantly every mm-hmm. single match and have to mix it up a little bit.
Well, Well, okay, so at that level, it's about winning, right? It's about the effectiveness of the hero that you're choosing, and flavor is way down on the list of reasons to pick something.
Sure.
So if you're able to maybe, like you said, kind of cut down on some of the like UC, whatever, whoever it is, ETC or Blaze, you know, in every single game, if you're able to kind of cut down on that, then it could be healthy for the game too, right? We're exploring new comps and new, you know, lesser played heroes, and some really cool stuff could happen, I guess.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that's my thinking with the extra ban on the front end, is that once you take out some of those always picked, then you can start getting into more unique compositions or heroes you don't see as often. And that, I think that does better because it forces the pros to expand their hero pools a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be super narrow, because that's just better for the game in general to have wider hero pools anyways. And it gets people who are watching like to see their favorite heroes played at the highest level. And so if you're someone that plays slightly like more middle of the road heroes, or you're not a big fan of some of those heroes that are just constantly picked, it's hard to relate, because it's like, oh, how do I get better with this one? The pros never play with Brightwing,
mm-hmm.
or the pros never play with Zarya, or, you know, whatever. And so now you take off some of those more meta heroes, maybe you start seeing some of these other heroes come, and that gives a little more relatability as well to people who are like, wow, I never knew you could do that with this certain hero. Yeah. And I love playing them and playing them forever, but that dude just pulled off some crazy stuff with that one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a little bit obvious. You like the idea of the third ban then?
Yes. Very, very cool. Much on board.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard it's been in conversations for a long time, but to see it like actually happening now, I'm like super hyped for it, except for the draft phase. Seems like it takes so long sometimes.
That's the thing. My hope is, and I think that's one of Hero's big problems right now, is that sometimes the draft phase can be as long as the games, depending on how fast the game goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But as a viewer,
it's a little rough.
Like, you just want to see what they're going to pick, and let's go to the game, right? But as a player, like, there's a ton of strategy in it.
Uh-huh.
So it does, you know, they're not just like burning the rope to piss you off. They really do it comes down to the whether they win or lose could come down to whether or not they pick the right player, you know,
yeah.
or the right hero.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to find the balance in there, right?
Yeah.
You got to find the balance between viewability and enough time for strategy. So my hope is that whether they add it onto the front or in the middle, they don't increase the actual ban time. It's just another ban that you have to do within that time period. Because I think from a draft perspective, Heroes is kind of at its limit as far as how much draft time people will tolerate.
There's only so much talking that you've always got your commentators, but there's only so much time they can fill talking about what they're going to pick, right?
Yeah, totally.
I kind of miss the days of where they drafted before the game even started, and then they just pretended to draft while they were before it actually happened. I think that's how they did it for a little bit at first. They actually did everything before it started, and then when they all came out onto the stage, they had to sit there and act like it was going on live, but they already had it on the
board. So it was faster.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know if there's a flaw in that process I just don't know about, but
it's definitely one of the few issues that as a viewer I have, is that the draft phase does feel like it can, especially if each team lets their full time run all the way, it can be kind of long. And so you have to, like I said, as a developer, you have to balance that, giving enough time for people to do stuff, but also not making it so long that people get bored before the game even starts.
Daryl, I'm going to let you follow up with that. You got a pretty good string of stuff here.
Do I? Oh, up top?
Yeah. So we did the questions, yeah.
All right.
I think so.
Yes, in fact, you do, man.
All right. So let's jump into some of the more changes that they're doing besides the ban. I know they announced about a month ago or so that they're going to change the way that content is rolled out for heroes. So before it used to be that a new hero would come out and at the same time they'd do a bunch of other changes. You get a whole bunch of different skins for not just that hero, but other heroes. It would be a whole big bundle. But now they're trying to spread things out, so we might be getting a little something every week almost. Do you think that's a good change they're doing? Bad change? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think for the most part, it's actually a really good change. For me personally, I think the limit and the sweet spot is one hero a month, because that gives you 12 heroes a year. And then especially at the end of last year, the two or three content patches leading up to the end of the year were so packed that as a player, it can sometimes be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The amount of stuff coming in and the amount of stuff that is changing all at the same time, because a lot of people don't read patch notes. it's weird because it's something I do all the time. And if you're a hardcore player for like World of Warcraft or Hearthstone or Overwatch or whatever, you read those patch notes religiously. You know exactly what changed, but a lot of people are a lot more casual than you, and they don't care. They just play the game. And so when they make huge, massive, sweeping changes all at the same time, that can really throw people off a lot. Oh, why did this character get all these new talents? Or why is this person feeling not near as strong as before? You know, that type of thing. And so what they've kind of moved to is the 4-ish week hero releases. And then they're starting to do, they used to do the hero release and then all the reworks and balance and everything they throw into one big patch as well. Well, now they're starting to pull that back and say, okay, here's a PTR and here's a new hero release. And then in 2 weeks, here's a balance patch and a rework. And so they're starting to focus and give a little more of a spotlight to these reworks, kind of in addition to heroes, so that they have their own moment to shine. And so that all of these changes don't come at the same time. They did that recently with Medivh and Sonya reworks. They just did those separately from any major hero patch that was released. And so personally, I like that move. I'd rather get steady, smaller content or these little event contents, like the really cool Mecha Storm thing they did.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Oh my gosh,
so good.
It had a rework. They had some sweet new skins, and they had this amazing cinematic, or animatic, I guess, in this case, that came with it. So I like that kind of thing.
So in regards to the hero releases, like, I know it's been like every 3 to 4 weeks generally that they've released a new hero. Do you know if they're still planning to do that same release schedule, or are they perhaps trying to spread out the content patches to maybe slow down the hero releases? You know, maybe they can get away with 5 weeks or 6 weeks now. Do you know if that's their intention, or are they still planning to do every 4 weeks?
I think they're kind of playing around a little bit. I think Phoenix was one of the longest gaps we've had so far.
Right.
And it felt really long. I feel like 4 weeks is about the sweet spot between new heroes. Well, and I think Deckard will be 4 weeks from the Phoenix release.
The way they were rolling out at the beginning, though, like, there was always a thought in the back of my head that this isn't going to be long term. Like, they can't keep this up forever, because it's just like, I don't know. I know other MOBAs have more heroes, but you hit a point where they haven't run out of stuff to ideas, right? The pool's not dry. It's just that, like, pushing them out, I mean, if they can, good for them, but, you know, I guess it's money, but it seems like when you're constantly pushing that out, there's the power creep and there's the, you know,
sure,
like every, you know, these new heroes that do things that old heroes do but better, and you know, why would you play that when Phoenix is, you know, Phoenix is Phoenix.
Sure.
It is awesome.
Yeah, and we see that in the other games, right? Both League and Dota have over 100, and we've seen them over the past several years slow their releases down mm-hmm. as well and focus a lot more on reworks than new hero releases. And right now, Heroes is kind of at the midpoint in that, because we're still, you know, two dozen-ish or thereabouts away from 100. And so we're not slowing down to the 5 or 6 heroes a year, but we're also not pumping them out every 3 weeks like we used to either. So we're kind of at that, I think, midpoint, and we'll probably be here for a few years where we'll see a mix of reworks and new heroes before the new hero stream starts to slow down even more and the rework stream picks back up. And you have to do that after a while, because it gets harder and harder to make something unique from a kit.
They're all just ripping each other off at this point, right?
Like, yeah.
Everyone's ripping off Blizzard's design, but then, you know, like some of the way that these, you know, I remember when Dahaka came out, our buddy Justin was like, oh, that's, I don't forget what it was, Sand King or something from some other game. I was like, oh, okay. Well, he's Dahaka from StarCraft. Dang it. Come on.
Sure.
But like, yeah, some of these kits, you know, like you can only do so much, and you know, they've got some of the smartest, amazing developers over there coming up with this stuff. But like at some point, like you're, you know, you've got your one-offs like Cho'Gall and, you know, these funny heroes like that. But like you hit a wall at some point, right?
Sure. But that's the nice thing about Heroes that I think they've got over most of the other games is, one, because of the way they've got their stuff set up, they can do kits that no other MOBA can do and make it balance. You could not have, I really don't think you could make Cho'Gall in League of Legends.
Oh,
you couldn't make
way.
You couldn't make Abathur in League of Legends. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
But because of the way Heroes works, they can do these crazier heroes and kits. And so that's going to be one advantage they have going forward, is that they will be able to pull off some of this crazy stuff that wouldn't work in other games. And then the other big thing they have over other MOBAs is maps. You can change up the game so much just by playing on a different map. And so if they can continue to come out with these very unique maps, or these maps that change things up, not only will that keep things fresh, instead of playing on one map. I mean, we're already playing on, instead of one map, like 12 different maps, which is really, really cool. And so they can continue to do that in the long run, to kind of shake things up.
I was going to ask you about the maps too, because it seems like the map rollout has slowed down a little bit. We seem to have gotten more maps over the last, you know, couple of years, and now it's slowing down. What do you think about that? Do you think releasing maps is key to the health of the game, or, you know, these where they're circulating steaming piles of garbage like the stupid what's the
Hammer?
One I hate, the stupid the garden one?
Oh, Garden Terror.
Yeah, Garden Terror, that's right.
Map. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's
so like, I don't know. They brought back, I never hated Haunted Mines like some people do, but they brought it back. And to me, it's like, all right, it's fine. It's still Haunted Mines. Like, I don't know. Maybe they tweaked some of the little pieces about it. And I don't, what do you think? Do you think what they're doing with like the actual maps themselves, like changing some of the mechanics of it, like infinite ammo and stuff like that, do you think that's better? Or do you think like we need fresh new maps?
It's interesting, right? Because it's all about expectation. League has done really, really good on one map, right?
And so, but
Heroes players expect more maps because the developer has set that expectation for them, and so they're held to a different standard than another game, which is really kind of interesting. Because like, if we were like all the other MOBAs, all we would have is Curse Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really weird to think about.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Because it's just like, yeah. I felt like I would get bored on that one map. Wait, that's how all the other MOBAs are. It's just one map.
I didn't even know that.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's really funny to think about, but that's just the standard Blizzard has set for Heroes. Right. And so I don't think releasing a lot of maps a year is healthy for the game, because a map is a pretty big deal from a learning perspective. It's a very big learning curve whenever a new map comes out. But I think one or two maps a year is probably pretty healthy for the game. And they've even hinted at, and they've already done, map reworks. And so now they can treat maps like Heroes, right? And actually go back, fix yeah. some stuff up. They're already working. They already did Haunted Mines. They're already have said, Hanamura. Yeah, deep into Hanamura development, and that map's going to come back completely different than it was before. Same art style, completely different mechanics. Mm-hmm. And they've hinted at Blackheart's Bay, Braxis, and Garden of Terror getting some overhauls as well here in the future. And so that's one other kind of thing they can do to keep content fresh, is they don't not only have Heroes they can rework and then new Heroes to release, they also have maps they can rework now and new maps to release.
Yeah, I guess a lot of these questions, after I ask them, I'm like, dude, it's both, right? Everybody wants the new shiny. New shiny is what's attractive and cool and neat and keeps people coming back. But balance is important, because if they don't have something, if you come back to something that's just broken, you don't want it. So yeah. there's got to be both, I guess. And there's got to be new maps, there's got to be new Heroes, but there has to be reworks of, you know, of the Heroes and the maps and kind of, you know, these sessions like you know, like we're saying, the infinite ammo on the towers. I think that was a super cool change. I really like that, because
I agree. I love it.
Being able to just go in and like basically like cheese it to where something finally runs out of ammo and you don't care anymore, because it's a non-threat. So you just go and you can just steamroll something without having to pay attention. You know, it brings a little bit of that edge and that danger back to paying attention, and you know, and that's important.
Yeah, totally agree.
Daryl, what do you think? What do you prefer seeing more new content, or do you prefer to see like something like a like Garden of Terror just deleted from the game completely forever?
Oh, I love how that every time I go into play, there's like a brand new map. It's got these dragons, and I've never seen that one before.
Yeah, Daryl, a couple of drinks, and he's never seen Dragonshire before.
God, it happened once, and it's like the joke that never ends now. But yeah, no, I like the new. You know, the reworks are good too. You know, I've got a couple of the maps that I just don't care for. The one in particular, the StarCraft one. It's not the one with the Zerg where you got to fill up the points.
Yeah, Braxis.
Is that Braxis? That's my least favorite map. I don't know why. I don't like that one. So I don't know if, you know, maybe one day they'll do a rework. But the new shinies.
The two lane maps, because it kind of feels like it. The thing that I like about Heroes, the like buddying up with people and the team aspect of it, I feel like that really becomes concentrated on two lane maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just that one I don't like. Like the other two lane maps, I like just fine. It's just that one. I don't know what it is about it. But you know, it's always fun. It's very snowbally. Yeah, it's always fun to play new heroes too, right? Like you know, new shiny. It's always fun to play a new hero. So yeah, you know, it's all good. Anything new with Heroes, it's always good. I really do enjoy that game.
Well, Ryan, I think we're gonna probably wrap it up here. Why don't you let us tell me what you think? What you think? Some of your biggest, like maybe top two or three, your expectations of like your wish list for Heroes.
My wish list for Heroes. I think one of the biggest things for me is seeing them put more effort into Team League, because mm-hmm. I feel like this game really shines when you're playing as five. I mean, it's a team brawler. That's what they originally started advertising it as. Mm-hmm. And
it's not a MOBA.
No. Yeah. until it became a MOBA, because people are confused by team brawler because it's not the buzzword.
I feel like that, what's that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a team baller. It's a MOBA.
Nice.
But yeah, I want to see them, and they mentioned it in their recent developer AMA. I want to see them make a lot more tools for grouping, for clans or guilds of some sort, for potentially more ways to team up to make Team League more interesting and more viable. I think I want to see more stuff in game, and I think that's the big thing I mentioned for HTC. I want to see more HTC stuff in the game client. I want to see more community educational guides and stuff accessible inside the game client, because that's really where you're going to get more eyes on the content if it's like just right there.
Spectate mode?
Huh? Spectate mode would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I know. How many times have I been like, hey, are you guys almost done?
Amazing.
You guys almost done? Oh, yeah, we're about 5 minutes in. Okay, well, I'll just sit here for another 20 minutes and wait.
Yeah. At least let me watch you, right?
Yeah.
I can rib you the whole time. Oh, why'd you die there? That was a dumb person.
Oh, man. Yeah, and even like, I mean, I know Overwatch is a whole different engine, and it's built differently, and that you could toggle between whoever you want to watch, but even if you could just watch one friend and just sit there and just have a good time with it. Yeah, totally.
Oh, please. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Just see their screen, right?
Yeah,
totally.
Sure. That'd be sweet. And then probably, as many people know, I'm a very big Varian fan. I like me some multi-class. I like me some twin blades.
Yeah.
I would like to see a feral druid introduced as a hero.
Have
kitty and bear form.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right.
That would be good.
Okay. I'm in.
That's my BlizzCon, like BlizzCon dream.
Feral
Druid.
It be though? Because Malfurion's already in there.
Bear Mantle.
Brawl or whatever.
Yeah.
The guy.
I can't think of the first name for some reason.
I think it's Brawl Bear Mantle.
Yeah, Brawl.
I am nature's rage. He just like follows you around yelling and everything.
Yeah, he's Feral Druid, right?
Yeah. No, oh yeah, dude. Yeah. Awesome. Oh man, yeah, I'd accept that definitely. What do you think about them moving Varian's ult to level 4 now?
Oh, I love it. I think it was a great design decision because it makes him more of a character, a full character earlier, and I think it makes for more interesting decisions and just lets you do more. I was a big fan.
I love the stuff like Tracer gets her ult to start with and Chromie gets hers a level early, and now Varian, cool. It just moved his ult up to level 4, so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to practically be done, you know, if
exactly
you, if like you're
that's half
if
the
you're
game is
snowballed
gone,
then yeah. If you're screwed already, it doesn't matter, right? Like, okay, fine, you know, just pick Twin Blade. Who cares? We're dead anyway. But yeah, I'd see those kind of things that I think are like innovative and cool. And you know what? It doesn't work at all for this hero. So let's just give them their ult straight out of the gate. Awesome. Let's do it. Yeah. So like, I love that kind of thinking. I think that shows like a complete willingness to just do things that other games are not doing at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I agree with you, man. Those are that's a pretty tight wish list. I think though those are very doable things. Hopefully we see more of that coming down the pipe. Is there a Dustin Browder anymore? Has somebody risen up to do that? Because I miss that. I really miss the, you know, the wall of Twitter of him just blam 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 and you know, funny, you know, snarky, whatever it is, like very
he's broken,
good.
Will fix.
Yeah, like I don't know, seems fine to me. Like, you know, all these, just like, man, that was so good for the community, and it seems like, you know, an AMA on Reddit is fine, I guess, but like just that, like kind of like, you know, the face, I guess, I don't know.
Sure, and I was talking about this on our show a week or two ago. And that's partially why this whole developer blog, the whole AMA kind of came around, was because there are several people on the Heroes side, the Heroes development side, who are very active on Twitter, active in talking about balance changes. A big one check out on Twitter, Matt Villers. He's now the lead hero designer.
Okay, cool.
He's very active on Twitter. He's very willing to have discussions and talk about people's concerns and why something is like it is and take suggestions and that type of thing. So that's really cool to have that for the hero side. But especially when Browder left, because he was the game developer, he was the lead game developer. Yeah. I don't even know why is my brain fart. the head of the game, whatever. Yeah. He could kind of answer questions from both sides, right? There's just not been somebody to take his place from a systems side of things that's been that forward-facing community outreach type person. And so part of the whole AMA and part of this blog post thing, I think, is an effort from that side of the game to put something forward without being necessarily a specific person.
Oh, Matt. Okay. Yep. He was one of the guys at PAX when they
did the
Deckard Cain announcement. All right. Yep. Cool. Yep. All right.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude.
Awesome. Very cool. Daryl, do you have any other questions that you wanted to wrap up with here?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm good. That was a good discussion. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Before I wreck these show notes here. Ryan, how about you? Any last points?
Everyone, if you're not playing Heroes, you should consider it, because the game is actually probably in the best state it's ever been in. It's super fun, and it's really easy for the most part to get into free to play without spending any money.
Yeah, I think you can. It's probably
they're pretty generous with their loot box system, honestly.
Not once you have everything, but
yeah. But once I know, I set my daughter up
what
recently.
What a terrible problem to have.
I set my daughter up recently with her own account, and they are pretty generous. Like, she would get a loot box, and like, I swear, her first 5 loot boxes had a hero in them. Right. Or so it's like, yeah, okay. So they are pretty generous with the doling out the heroes when you first get started. Definitely.
I think they could probably go back through and reevaluate the costs on some that have been out for a while now.
That's something some people have started asking about, because I think about half the hero pool is still 10K.
Yeah.
Or higher. Mm-hmm. So hopefully sometime in the near future, we'll start seeing some reductions on some of those ones that have been around a while. Down to 7 and 4,000 gold.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Not that I'm going to go fire up a dummy account to check it out, but I think, you know, we're all talking about health of the community and bringing new players in and making it approachable, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If you can pick up maybe a meta hero for a little bit cheaper, that would be, it wouldn't hurt, you know.
Yeah, or bringing back that mega bundle they did when Heroes 2.0 launched.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was an awesome, awesome thing to get new people into it. And I think I'd love to see more cross promotions with their other games or those type of big events again, where it's just like, hey, here's a big bundle of 20 heroes you can get for $5 or $10. Come check this out.
I'm not going to lie. I preferred the old currency system, where I could just go, oh, this hero is on sale this week for $4.95. Okay, I'll do that. Instead of like, I have to buy gems and Nexus coins and whatever the heck it is and try and figure out how many of those I need to buy this thing. And now I've got a bunch of gems left over that are doing nothing until I can at some point buy more gems.
Yes. The double currency system. Pros and cons to free-to-play game.
Well, all right. I think we'll cut her off there. If you guys haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like Ryan that you've heard here on the show. That's discord.me/TTD. And if you do like what we're doing and want to help keep the content flowing, you can check our Patreon over at patreon.com/trainingdummies. And there is no obligations, just more good times.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got for shout-outs today?
Oh, definitely, Ryan. It's been a long time in the works. I'm so glad you finally were able to schedule something. I know you got a lot going on in your life, so I appreciate you making some time for us.
I appreciate you guys having me. It was a lot of fun.
You do?
I always love talking to heroes.
Heck,
I'll
yeah,
talk heroes anytime.
And of course, Daryl, for being bro host and help filling the gaps in the show notes here while I was having brain farts. And the raid team, I think, what, did we get some new bosses down?
We got one. We got the portal keeper down.
Yeah, so we're stuck on heroic Kevin, and that fight can literally go stand in the fire and die a painful, painful death. Yeah, the raid team, and yeah, I think that's good. Daryl, what do you got?
Yeah, raid team, definitely. We got portal keeper down, so we're now 8 of 11, stuck on Kevin. I think we'll get Kevin this week. I have confidence. I'm not going to lie, I had more to drink last Friday than I thought I had. When I looked at the state of my bottle in the morning, it's like, oh, all right then. Well, that's probably why we didn't kill Coven. So I apologize to the raid team. But anyway, I think we'll get that this week. Yeah, big shout out to you, Rob. I know I got back from vacation and we hadn't scheduled anything, and then we did our Hearthstone episode, but I just wasn't feeling like, okay, I need to find a guest. And then you told me you had this show booked and ready to go. So big shout out to you for providing that spark. And I know I went and booked another couple today after this. So thanks for that. You think it's easy to come up with these topics, but it can be difficult. Like, oh, what are we going to talk about? Who are we going to get? So, shout out to you, Rob, for getting the jump going there. And then, yeah, Ryan, thanks for coming and talking heroes. I really love the game of heroes. And as I mentioned before, it was my gateway drug to esports. I used to always think, like, why would I want to sit and watch someone else play a video game when I could play it myself? But heroes really changed my view on that. And I love talking with it. And it was a pleasure discussing, all things HGC esports and the game in general with you. So thanks for joining us tonight. Do you have any shout outs this evening?
Shout outs to you guys. You guys do so much great work for the Blizzard community. And that's a big deal. It's a lot of people don't realize how much work podcasts are. I didn't realize it until I started doing it. It's a lot more than you would think. And just being able to be that voice for the community is really an awesome deal. And then, of course, shout outs to my show, Lords of the Storm. We do our weekly Heroes podcast. Episodes release Thursday mornings, and we record live on Twitch at 9 Central Time on twitch.tv/Lords of the Storm if you want to check us out live. And then, of course, the other Zord guys, Multi and Greg / Gizmo, who is Greg. I don't know why I'm interchanging names. Whatever, it's okay.
Awesome.
Well, before we wrap this up, Ryan, where's the best place people could reach you if they have any more questions or want to follow some of your work here?
Probably the best place to reach me is on Twitter, @TBKZord. I'm pretty active on there, and of course love having any heroes related or gaming related discussions in general. And then I also do some writing for Heroes Hearth, which is a Heroes social media site. And you can find me on there as well. I do blog posts about Heroes related stuff, interviews with HGC pros and stuff. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you can check it out there.
All right, well, that wraps up episode 203 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo-woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo-woo!
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Oh, a fan, huh? Oh. Well, who can blame you?
Thanks for all the love and support
at patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training.
Dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?